This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
All right, the impeachment extravaganza coming to a television near you at 10 a.m. sharp. Are you going to watch? 855-839-1210. What does it mean for bribery to be the allegation? I will debunk this nonsense for you. And also remind you, by the way, that in D.C., lots of bars are already opened. Some will be opening soon with all kinds of impeachment drink specials. So let's come up with our own, shall we? Have a little fun. 855-839-1210, The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli, Facebook.com/Cioli Show. It's cold out. It's very cold. I want to remind you, if you live in New Jersey, the communist dictatorship, the totalitarian state of New Jersey, and you warm up your car, you could get a ticket. All right? Because freedom. So don't warm up your car because you could get a ticket. You've been warned. That's right. Is this the law in Pennsylvania as well?
Or is it just Jersey? I don't think so. I think it's just Jersey.
Shocking. New Jersey prohibits idling, which is defined as when the engine is running but the vehicle is not moving, to no more than 3 minutes under most circumstances. And yes, even on your own driveway in this ridiculous totalitarian state that I live in, you can get fined. $250 fine for the first offense. And then $500 for a second offense, and $1,000 for third and subsequent violations. It's a year-round law. Of course, now people do it this time of year because they want to warm up their car. Now, New Jersey Sierra Club Director Jeff Tittle said the law merits additional education and enforcement. It's violated all the time, even in the summer. As you're idling, you're polluting the neighborhood for no reason. So drivers may idle for up to 15 minutes if the vehicle has been stopped for 3 hours, if the temperature is below 25 degrees. So you have an officer show up with a thermometer.
Just gonna say, right? Who's enforcing that?
Imagine that the cop pulls out his thermometer and then...
It's like, well, is it in the sun?
You know? Yeah, right. Is it in the sun? And then how do you prove that it's been idle for 3 hours? And then, you know what I mean? Now, this is what I mean in terms of... So someday what's going to happen is a police officer is going to walk over and then try to give somebody a summons for this. Yep. The person's going to resist, going to get dragged away in cuffs. The video will go viral, and we'll hear a lecture about police brutality, why, you know, these tactics that they use, these are victimless crimes. Why do they do this? And then they'll find out that it was for idling, and then they'll go, oh, well, that's the environment. Yes. That's different. Yeah.
Climate change.
Right. That's fine. Yep. Eat a sandwich in the subway, get hauled off. They go, this cop's out of his mind. He tickets you for leaving your car running. They go, well, that man's an environmental hero. That man's a hero.
Yes.
Thank God they dragged that person off. And I'll tell you what, that person should have never resisted that brave officer.
Are we all going to now turn off our cars in traffic jams in New Jersey?
You get the exception for traffic jams, Bill.
You never know.
It's true. You do never know. That's right. It does say in the article, though, that the exception of this is that if you are stalled in traffic. Although... To your point, Bill, that'll change, too, at some point.
Yeah, they'll be like, everybody.
Bill Murphy will turn around and go, New Jersey, you mean I can get revenue from this? Ticket everybody in traffic. New Jersey, more money in my pockets. So stupid. Oh, God, why do I live here? All right, so now you've been warned, okay? And again, I mean, if you're a cop and you walk over and you write somebody a summons and that person resists, or that person, you know, the white cop, black person, and then you got to drag them off, you got to tase them. Just remember, police don't make laws, they enforce them. If you want to have less interaction with law enforcement, because interaction with law enforcement can go badly for everybody involved, if you want to have less interaction with law enforcement, ready? Stop making stupid laws!
You mean like a loose cigarette led to an awful case?
Thank you, Greg Stocker, for bringing that up. Exactly right, how a loosey led to a man dying with his interaction with law enforcement. Exactly right. Great point. If you want less law enforcement interaction with people, stop making stupid laws. But the problem is, it's all revenue and feel-good nonsense, like a car idling for 5 minutes versus three. Was a cop going to come out with a timer and a thermometer? Click, click, start. Chick, go, go. So stupid. Oh, my God.
CSI idling car division.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
No, it's not.
Sir... Me and the boys were dispatched here today because I think that car was running for 3 minutes and 42 seconds. No, officer, it was only 2 minutes and 49 seconds. Are you calling me a liar, son? No, no, sir. No, 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 sir. Oh, so stupid. Oh, man. Chris is in Blackwood. Chris, good morning, bud.
Rich, thanks for letting me come on. Listen, if the cops are treated the same way, which they won't be, then I'm all for the law. They sit around idling, one car going one way, the other car going the other way, usually in a school parking lot, while they're probably talking about their dates for the evening. And they're always driving around with their cell phones in their hands.
Yeah, well, that's true. They're exempt, by the way. They're literally, police cars, fire cars, snow removal, utility vehicles are all exempt from the anti-idling law. So they can idle all they want.
Sure they are. That's just another way where the government, that's why it's all, in New Jersey specifically, it's why it's all Democrat, because every teacher, every cop, every government worker, which they outnumber is probably 2-1, is going to vote Democrat to keep the process going on.
Thanks, Chris. Have a good day, buddy. Yep. Yes, the cop will have to keep his car running so that he's able to chase you after getting a report that you left your car running. You see what I mean? But his car's got to be ready to go in case he's got to respond to a report of somebody idling their car. So he has to keep the car idling in case he's got to go respond to a 911 call about somebody idling.
No.
We call that irony.
It's an emergency service. They're out there. They're catching criminals.
No, I agree. It's what I'm saying.
Pedophiles.
What if it's a pedophile idling his car?
There. That's a good.
That's how you catch him.
Double.
911, what's your emergency? Somebody's, their car's running. I'm sorry, what? Their car's running. I don't understand. Why are you calling 911? Their car's running for more than 3 minutes. all right, we're on it. We'll call SWAT. I mean, this is you know.
So Pennsylvania has a diesel motor vehicle idling act.
Yeah.
Where trucks can't idle because of air pollution. That's actually in the statute.
That's trucks in the statute. Yeah. Trucks and buses. There you go. But if you heat up your car in your driveway. Now, the other problem, too, is that this is going to lead to people dying. Ask me how.
Well,
how, Rich?
Poor air quality and climate change.
Nope. This law is going to lead to people dying. Dawn, ask me how.
How?
Because to get around it, what people are going to do is keep their garage door shut and heat up their car.
Don't do that.
Don't do that exactly. Somebody's going to do it. You know, mark my words. Somebody will go, I'll get around that. I'll have the garage door shut.
Gosh.
They won't see me. Idling the car.
That's what we call
selective, right?
Stop.
Thinning the herd.
I mean, it's.
But it's going to lead to. And John, if we can save one life, Dawn.
That's right.
If we could save one life, we have to save that life. So my question is, would you tear up this stupid freaking law? Sierra Club. Anyway, and how many poor people won't be able to pay the fine, and then we'll owe the government more money, and then we'll ultimately get arrested for not paying the fine, and then we'll go to prison, right? How many poor people you think will be?
They're taking the bus anyway.
Oh, is that what it is? All right. Buses can idle, right?
No.
No, they can't.
No.
Oh, all right.
No.
Well, get in there, Sparky, and get going. Now, it's the day of impeachment, and there's a couple witnesses testifying today. Who's Bill Taylor, you might want to know? He's up today. Who's Bill Taylor? He was the U.S. Charged Affairs in Ukraine and Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Europe. And George Kent is also going to appear before the House Intelligence Committee today, as well as former U.S. Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, who actually will be there on Friday. So who's Bill Taylor? He's one of the witnesses today in the impeachment. He began his career in the U.S. government as a cadet at West Point, Army infantry officer, served in Vietnam. He served as ambassador to Ukraine from 2006 to 2009 and returned as the charge of affairs in 2019 after the Trump administration ousted the previous ambassador. He was working as the executive vice president at the U.S. Institute of Peace. He said Secretary Mike Pompeo asked him to leave the U.S. embassy in Kiev on May 28th. All right. And his testimony today is going to say the Trump administration was using military aid to leverage Ukraine into pursuing investigations that would be politically beneficial to Trump. This was my clear understanding. Security assistance money would not come until the president of Ukraine committed to pursue the investigation, Taylor said in his closed-door deposition. Republicans have pushed back. Republicans have said Taylor did not have primary knowledge regarding the key events in question, but based on his testimony, which is based off third-party hearsay. Remember, hearsay is not admissible in a trial. This is not a trial, but I'm just pointing that out. If this were criminal proceeding, hearsay is not allowed. Taylor also told lawmakers that former security advisor John Bolton was upset by the efforts of the Irregular Policy Channel And don't forget, of course, he had to go back and then edit his testimony afterward. The other guy who's going to testify today is the lesser Kent, George Kent. Clark being, of course, the greater Kent. George Kent, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Europe and Eastern Europe, will be one of the first witnesses to appear today. His background, he served as a career diplomat under five presidents starting in 1992, a Harvard graduate with degrees in Russian history and literature. He appeared today in the same spirit that I brought to my entire career as one of thousands of non-political career professionals in the Foreign Service who embody that vow daily around the world, often in harsh and dangerous conditions. He said in the same testimony that he had been subject to disinformation campaigns and online threats from Russians and corrupt Ukrainian actors for years. He will likely be quizzed about whether the president and his allies were pressuring Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, to open investigations that would help Trump, including one into 2020 presidential contender Joe Biden and his son Hunter. In an exchange with Representative Lee Zeldin, Republican, New York, during his closed-door deposition, Kent said he had no firsthand knowledge outside from what he had heard from others, including Taylor. I have no direct knowledge, he said. Then he would likely he would go back and say, well, I based on what I heard, I think that did happen. But he said, I have no direct firsthand knowledge. None of these people do, by the way. None of them do. 855-839-1210. You know what? We should do our movie thing because I said I was going to do it. We should do it.
You did.
It's a good one, too. A movie they could never make today.
The Morning Mystery Clip. Yeah. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Turn right. Follow him to the right.
It's okay. Normally, you would not be going 65 down the wrong way of a one-way street. Apply the brakes. Now put it in reverse.
You damn broad!
Well, Stephanie, gently extend your arm. Extend your middle finger.
No. Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
It's a $50 gift card to Outback Steakhouse, of course, home of the Bloomin' Onion. Good luck. Now, there's a number of other idiotic things that are happening, but I got to tell you, the Chris Matthews impeachment pep talk is outstanding. But first, let's have NBC Today Show fretting over Trump's fitness for office, shall we? In their interview with Nikki Haley, take a listen.
Let me just quickly, because it's been out there and you worked in this administration. Did you ever have any doubt about the fitness of this president to
serve? I never did.
Any doubt about his mental acuity?
I never did.
Any question about his truthfulness, his ability to tell the truth?
Savannah, I talked to him multiple times, and when I had issues, he always heard me out. I never had any concern on whether he could handle the job,
and
ever.
What about his truthfulness? Did you think he was a truthful person?
Yes. In every instance that I dealt with him, he was truthful, he listened, and he was great to work with.
Was he crazy, though? What about senile? What about, did he sometimes, I don't know, dress up as a Russian, run around the room, and pretend he was Vladimir Putin? Did he do any of those things? Also, was he nuts? Was he insane? Did you question whether or not he was lucid?
How many times could you ask
the exact same question in different? Now I'm going to ask the same questions, but in Spanish.
No, it's not.
855-839-1210. Let's see. Bill is in Doylestown. Bill, good morning, bud.
Hey, Rich. Enjoy your show. I just wonder what happens if it's an illegal alien idling in a sanctuary city.
You get a, in Philadelphia or Jersey, any cop who comes up to you will lose his job. That's how that works. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Thank you. Jerry's in Mullica Hill. Jerry, what's the movie?
Naked Gun.
You got it, brother. That is a movie they could never, ever make today, right?
Not at all.
Not a chance. No chance. All right, my man. Enjoy the Outback.
Thank you.
You got it, pal. 855-839-1210. We are doing nonstop talk. This is unprecedented in Philadelphia media and Philadelphia radio, and I'm going to play for you this ridiculous clip from Chris Matthews. You got to hear this.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Now, the key point of all of this, of course, comes down to whether or not the president asking Ukraine to clean up corruption is in the nation's best interest. I 100% think it is. So before they get our money, we have to make sure that there's no corruption. It's also a federal law, by the way, that presidents have to follow as well. And if an American is at the heart of that corruption, it doesn't change the fact that the country might be corrupt. If the person's running for political office, doesn't change the fact that country might be corrupt. So isn't it also possible that the president could have looked of Ukraine could have looked into Biden and his son and came back and said, yeah, it was all good. Nothing to see here. You notice that Democrats never suggest that. It's almost like they know that this getting, quote, dirt on his rival is going to yield some pretty bad stuff. You ever think about that? I always think about that. I do. I think about that because that's what they always say, right? Well, for him to ask for dirt on his political rival, what if the president of Ukraine was going to come back and go, Mr. President, we looked into it. Everything was above board. Everything was good. Why are they so sure he was going to come back and go, we got reams of stuff on Joe Biden and Hunter? But you see, that's how you expose their lie and the fraud, right? If the president of the United States says to a country, we've got money, I got to make sure there's no corruption, look into CrowdStrike. Oh, and by the way, this whole thing that Biden was bragging about, getting a prosecutor fired and Burisma and his son, look into that too. Why does everybody assume that it's going to come back bad on Biden? But that's how they're all acting, right? You notice that? I wonder why. It's almost like they want Joe Biden to have the appearance of corruption, right? Because maybe then he'll lose the primary. I'm just saying. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Here he is, Chris Matthews, with his newly Finchley inspirational pep talk to Democrats. Go get him.
Showtime. Let's play hardball. 15 hours from now, the American people will, for the first time, hear the full case for impeaching President Donald Trump. Tomorrow morning at 10 Eastern, the House Intelligence Committee begins the first public hearings of the impeachment inquiry. And like the Watergate hearings of 1973, when former White House counsel John Dean riveted America's people watching on television, Democrats plan to use tomorrow's hearings format an enormous power to sway public opinion. Will that come across to the person who normally watches not this network, but watches maybe something, an entertainment program night, or Jeopardy or something like that? Will they come in and say, let me pay attention to this now? This is going to be a courtroom drama tomorrow with star witnesses where people like Bill Taylor and Kent and later on Ivanovich are going to stand up there to the pressure of the other side. 20 million people could be watching these two gentlemen testify tomorrow. An equal number watching on the evening network news. Millions more in the primetime hours here and on other networks tomorrow night. It would be helpful for people who watch from their homes or listen at their workplaces
or in space
to make their own judgments. If we believe Trump's behavior representing this country in this matter departs from what we hold acceptable, this is what we need to say and say loudly.
What?
If we think Trump's pressing this foreign leader for personal dirt, even to the point of denying him critical military assistance, is business as usual, so be it. Because if we say this kind of conduct is predictable, I predict we're going to get a lot of it in the future. And that's why what we think of tomorrow's hearings and those to follow is what truly matters, because it locks in our destiny.
Our destiny. Well, this is our destiny, kids. Our destiny today.
That's why what we think of tomorrow's hearings and those to follow is what truly matters, because it locks in our destiny.
This is your destiny, Luke.
No, it's he did steal that from Star Wars.
He definitely stole that from Star Wars. Giddy, MSNBC was just so giddy, of course. The entire thing is so giddy for them. They're so happy and so fun. It's just all of them, just thrilled by this. Cut four.
House Democrats are intentionally choreographing these public hearings to build what they hope will be an ironclad case for impeachment against President Trump. They are intentionally stitching together the narrative that they hope to tell. House Democrats control the committee, which means that they go first. That also means that the first hour, for the most part, it will be entirely Adam Schiff or a staff lawyer, if he so delegates the lawyer to ask questions, pursuing the line of inquiry and building the case. I'm told by a source familiar, a Democratic source familiar, that if Americans only tune in, Hallie, only tune in to the first hour, that they will hear an earful. The first hour, I'm told, is designed to be a blockbuster.
I've been talking
a blockbuster.
To a lot of
Listen, the first hour is going to hook you, and you're going to subscribe right on the spot. You get a trial. The first hour is free.
There's nothing to
But say. Then after that, you got to pay $6.99 a month for the Impeachment Channel.
That's Disney.
Impeachment Channel, and then it's unlimited. We're going to hook you in the first hour of this blockbuster, and then for $6.99 a month or one payment of $52.47, you can get the entire impeachment extravaganza. You can watch it on your iPhone, TV, it's a bargain right there. All right.
I've been talking to a lot of Democratic aides. They say they learned a lot of lessons from the hearing with Robert Mueller, and they want people to really understand that they want to have blockbuster witnesses, I'm told, from bookend
blockbuster.
To bookend. And they also want...
So hang on, let's go with people you've never heard of. Bill Taylor and George Kent. Blockbuster. I mean, at least get an actor to play them, right? At least get like Robert De Niro playing the role of George Kent. Mr. Kent, how did it go with Ukraine? This fake president, this guy, F you, F Ukraine, no, F you up there, not. F your mother, F your sister, F your... Will the witness please calm down?
Alyssa Milano will be there with her hair in a bun.
Oh, yeah, just sitting there with that scowl on her face the entire time.
He has to jump in.
Are you concerned that, you know, the idea that yet another billionaire coming in and saying you'll save the world? I mean, that was Trump's theme.
But Trump's not a billionaire. He's a fake president.
He's a fake. He's a fugazi. Now today the role of George Kent played by Robert De Niro. Mr. Kent, did you hear the president ask for a quid pro quo? Yeah, a little bit. I heard him go, this guy, F you, give me the money, or you're dead. You're dead. I'll kill you. I'll kill your family. I'll burn your whole house to the ground. All right. The witness needs to chill out.
Now that would be a blockbuster.
That would be amazing, right? You could have Ben Affleck play the other guy, Taylor. Ruin the impeachment hearings on day one. Like he's ruined every other movie he's been in. Like he's ruined every other franchise. They put Ben Affleck in there to play one of the Ukrainians. It'd be a star power. And then he gets in there and he blows that performance too. Ruins that. 855-839-1210. Is that it with that clip, or is it still going?
Great. I also want Democrats to have a lot of time, the 45 minutes they're going to have between Adam Schiff and lawyers to be able to question and make statements before Republicans can speak. And that's going to be happening because they think that people are going to make their minds up within the first hour and a half of this hearing.
Oh, now it's hour and a half. Now it's 90 minutes. I got to hook you. 90 minutes.
Within the first hour and a half of this hearing, as a result, they're trying to capture that and tell their narrative early.
Impeachment 2, the sequel. This time it's personal. Well, let's see. If you get the first 90 minutes, you're hooked for the series, I'm telling you. Let's see. Nancy's in Ambler. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. I'm laughing my head off about the Chris Matthews comment that this is all about our destiny. I thought, according to the Democrat Party, we were all destined to be dead in 12 years due to climate change.
Well, I think now it's 10, but yeah, I mean, you're right. But before we go out, we're going to go out with a blast, a big blockbuster impeachment hearing.
Rich, I want to say this. Politics is comedy, and comedy is politics.
It certainly is, Nancy. It really is. And I'm just trying to keep everybody sane with it, because you could lose your minds otherwise.
You know the fairy tale about the boy who cried wolf?
Yeah,
that's what the Democrat Party is up to. They keep crying wolf, and there's never a wolf.
That's a great point. You're exactly right. Thank you, Nancy. How many times have we seen this with, you know, the Watergate lawyer John Dean? It was a big blockbuster. This is our destiny. This is our moment. And that was a dud. Mueller was a dud. That's why you got to get De Niro up there to play this. Yeah. Ukraine. A little bit. I said to him, I said, F you, money now, Biden, kill him. I want him dead. That you heard him say that? No. This other guy told me that. I heard that a little bit. This guy, and then I said to the other guy, you know, this president, F him. Well, thank you, Mr. Taylor. No, that's all right. I'm here all day. Tomorrow, on Monday, I'm going to play Slakovich. Who? 855-839-1210. Let's see here now. As the impeachment extravaganza, enthusiasm, and excitement continues today, and there's so much of it that's going on around us. Let's see the other clip that I wanted to play. Did I get the? The reality, though, check for everybody is that Harold Ford, who's a Democrat, smart guy though, really smart guy. Harold Ford, not crazy, served in the House. This is what he said. Now, this might burst some of the bubbles here in their enthusiasm and their excitement. Cut 8.
Let me just ask you this real quickly. We're getting ready for these public hearings on impeachment. How much do you think this factors in on the campaign trail? What 2020 candidates are talking about ahead of this debate in Atlanta.
You led into it the right way. By Wednesday evening, I think we're going to have a very strong sense. I think that what Senator Kennedy said, he wants to measure the credibility of these witnesses. He wants to measure the tone of these witnesses. He wants to get a sense to hear their words, hear them talk, see them cross-examine. I think by Wednesday evening and perhaps Friday afternoon after the ambassador comes forward, we're going to have a much better sense if Nancy Pelosi, who I think has been the most mature of all of the politicians in D.C. around this issue, because I don't think she really wanted to do this. But if she does not feel that Democrats can have a sound vote, bipartisan vote, and maybe even move to the Senate with a chance to remove the president, I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't pull this in the next several days if this first week does not go well.
That'd be something to see.
Yeah, and, you know, he's right, because Pelosi understands that this is a political minefield they're walking down here. In addition to such an absolute fraud here. Adam Schiff is a joke. I'm going to remind you of the time that he was being interviewed by Sam Stein in MSNBC, lied to him, and then Sam Stein tried to cover for him. And I'll tell you about the former MSNBC contributor that's going to question the key Ukraine envoy. But are you going to watch today? 855-839-1210. Are you going to watch? And I got to tell you, too, this ridiculous ruling by the Supreme Court that the lawsuit can go forward in Connecticut against the manufacturer of the AR-15 that was used in the Sandy Hook massacre is a disgrace. It really is. It's a disgrace. It's judicial tyranny. And it's against the law, too, of the 2005 law that was signed by President Bush. I'll tell you about that, too. This is nonstop talk, baby. This is we're together and we're just hanging out for the next we still got about 35 minutes to go. Okay, impeachment Wednesday. Impeachment hump day.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What?
It's hump day.
It's hump day. It's impeachment hump day. Just saying.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. It's so bad. We need another email. That show's become nothing but a morning zoo.
Oh, boy.
Hump day, hump day, hump day. Hump day, hump day, hump day. I'm not a fan of that. Hump day, hump day, hump day.
Hump day, hump day, hump day.
Still more intelligent than anything Chris Matthews said.
Hump day, hump day, hump day.
It's so bad, it's so bad. Stop, make it stop. My ears.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
My ears. 855-839-1210 is the number. Are you watching this today? Are you going to take the time out of your busy day to watch this? What do you think is going to happen here? Dan is in Phoenixville. Dan, what do you think is going to come of this today?
Hey, I'm a big fan of your show.
Thank you, brother.
I wanted to call in. Well, for one thing, I can't wait to watch this and get hooked in the first 90 minutes. I've got my wallets ready. For the other thing, at the start of your last monologue, you were talking about the Russia investigation, and it got me thinking about the 2016 elections. But you actually put another question in my mind that I was wondering if I could ask you first. And that was that I was wondering if is part of the request of the investigation into corruption the demand that the Ukraine president go on national television and specifically talk about the fact that he's going to investigate the Bidens in particular?
Isn't that where
the heft of the quid pro quo comes from? Is because of the fact that he was also demanding a public show in the public eye. And without the public show in the public eye, then the president wasn't going to release the millions of dollars that Congress had already approved that he was holding up illegally.
I mean, that's news to me.
Oh, I would actually recommend that you would read the materials that are going before the American people today.
The ones that people heard third party? They heard somebody else say that happened? Because I didn't see that in the transcript, did you see that in the transcript of the phone call? Did you read that in the transcript of the phone call? Because I didn't see that in there, did you?
Well, it wasn't an exact transcript.
I'm going to put you on hold again. So somebody heard that the president wanted the president of Ukraine to go on TV, do a big public statement about it. Didn't make the transcript, however. Somebody heard somebody say that. That's what you're basing this on, right? Is that what you're basing this on, Dan?
I'm not basing it on something quite as simply as you put it. I'm really trying to come at this from a disassociated third party and just kind of look at the
Oh, yeah, you're very disassociated,
and
I can tell.
No, what?
Right, no, I get it, totally. You are dispassionate on the issue without question. So what did the president do wrong exactly? Help me understand, Dan.
Well, if I was to try to follow the documentation that's been put forward so far, it sounds like the president took the Congress is the wallet of the country, right? So the Congress voted to give, millions of dollars to the Ukraine in order to help protect them against Russia or, you know, military threats. There's complicated stuff going on. We don't have time for it. So the president steps in front of the money, holds it back, something that's not part of his responsibilities, and then sends in his personal lawyer in order to insist
Whoa. What do you mean it's not? Wait, stop. What do you mean it's not part of his personal responsibilities? The executive branch is ensured they have to execute the law. The law says we don't give money to countries that's that have corruption. How is that not his process?
True.
It's 100% true.
That's not true.
Okay, well, it is. But either way, if the president does not...
I mean, we can...
If there are... I'm going to put you on hold again. The... literal translation of executive is to execute. So if the money that goes to Ukraine is contingent on certain things, that Ukraine has to be free of corruption, or they've got to do the following with regards to their military, and they're not doing those things, it's on the executive to ensure that they are before they get the money. Would you agree with that point?
I mean, you would.
All right. So then go on to your next point. Go ahead.
No, I don't agree with what you said. I agree that you made a point. I'm just not sure that I followed that. If Congress is in charge of the wallet,
the bill to give Ukraine money was just one line. Here, we the Congress vote to give Ukraine X dollars. Have a good day. There weren't other contingency factors associated with that foreign aid.
I'm sure there was.
There were. And then which branch of government? Guess out of the three, which branch of government executes the law that's passed?
The personal lawyer of the president of
the executive
States.
Branch of government is the correct answer. Now, you got about 30 seconds left to make your accusation. Go for it.
No accusation.
Of course it's an accusation.
No, sir, I'm trying to be respectful. So from reading the documents themselves, all I see is that the president was making a demand that a foreign government put on a dog and pony show in order to receive money that they had already been promised by our country in order to benefit.
Are you reading that right now? Are you reading that? Because you're going a little fast. You slow it down when you read. Listen to me.
I'm trying to help you, Dan.
I'll put you on hold. When you read talking points, slow. See, that's the problem with talking points, right? People wind up accidentally speeding up. I'm trying to help you, man, because you sound like a real nice guy. When you read a talking point, you got to make sure you make it sound like it's real speech. All right, try it again. Read that last part back to me.
I'm not reading talking points. I'm behind the wheel of my car, my hands free, and this is just me talking to you, human on human. And I'm not sure why you're trying to undercut what I'm saying with something like an ad hominem, like
ad hominem. I like that word. That's good.
Is that not what was just happening? So I'm not reading talking points. Just looking at the materials that are in front of the country right now.
You're looking at them right now because I thought you were driving. Are you driving or are you looking at materials? What are you doing?
I'm speaking metaphorically.
Metaphorically.
Nation,
okay.
They're not literally,
all right.
They're not literally.
Not literally. Okay. Listen, Dan. Have a great day. Drive safe. Appreciate it. Yep. For the good of the public, I'm going to let you go so you can keep driving and nice and safe with the hands on the wheel. Remember, 9 and 3 o'clock. What is it? Wait, 9. Ten and two. So if you're a right-handed guy, hold the talking points in your right hand.
No, please don't text or read. No.
Is it 9 and 3 or 10 and 2?
No, she's right. It's ten and two. But I think 9 and 3 makes more sense.
I think so. Right?
You're lower. 10 and 2. You're up.
My back's going to hurt a little bit.
It's not
what if I got to reach down for the documents to be able to reference during the call?
Don't do that.
I take two down. And then it's just 10.
So then I go to, so just 10. So then 10 and other hand grab talking point documents to read to host on the show.
Yeah. Don't grab anything while you're driving.
And don't grab anything while you're driving. Thank you, Dawn. It's a very, very good reminder.
Be careful, baby.
Careful, baby. In fact, can Mama Scioli give Dan some nice coaching? Just, you know, because he sounds like such an authentic, sincere guy who enjoys the show so much. Go ahead. She's busy.
Oh, be careful, baby.
There it is.
There you go. All right. Dawn, how are we looking today, by the way?
We are looking cold, so don't let looks deceive you. If you look out the window, it's beautiful and sunny out, but 16, it feels like 16 with the wind chill, 26 degrees right now. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT was the only show news brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. So the widow of murdered Philadelphia police officer Danny Faulkner speaking out, saying she's now going to Pennsylvania's highest court in hopes the case will be be turned over to the PA Attorney General. This is, of course, Maureen Faulkner, friend to the Zioli Show. She says there are several severe conflicts of interest in this appeal case involving the man convicted of killing her husband, Officer Faulkner. Her attorney, George Pichetto, speaking out. He's filed a King's Bench petition asking the PA Supreme Court to disqualify Philadelphia DA Larry Krasner from handling the case, the appeal of Mumia Abu Jamal. Now, her lawyer, Pichetto, says if this one doesn't work, he's willing to take it all the way to the United States Supreme Court. We have good news for Philadelphia with a reported tax revenue windfall of $163 million more than expected collected in 2019. City taxpayers, no, you won't get a refund. We won't get a refund. Philadelphia City Council says they're planning to pump that $163 million into programs like hepatitis C treatment for inmates, an economic stimulus plan, and violence prevention. So they've already spent the money. As an Arctic blast hits our region, a reminder about warming up your car too long, otherwise known as illegally idling. We touched on this a little bit, but 30 states have laws around idling, including New Jersey, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. So Philadelphia has its own more stringent anti-idling laws. PPA tickets for excessive idling violators cost $101 in tickets. But this really focuses mostly on those large trucks and buses. However, for gas-powered and other vehicles, the PPA and the Philadelphia Police Department enforce the limits, and they have they're encouraging people to actually call and turn idlers in. That goes for New Jersey.
That's good.
As
rat
well.
Them out. Yeah, rat them out. Call them. Turn. Drop a dime on them.
Man.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And in Jersey, it's
a nation of rats. That's what they want us to be—a nation of rats.
Amen.
For the climate.
Well, speaking of animals, in an effort to beat holiday season travel stress, one airport is offering the WAG Brigade. This is a program to ease your travel anxiety, and that includes therapy animals. This is San Francisco International Airport, where therapy dogs and therapy pigs, not those little tiny pigs, these are big therapy pigs. They greet travelers, and the pigs are all dressed up in a pilot's hat, a little uniform, and painted red toenails.
San Francisco is freaking nuts, by the way. Insane. It's an insane place.
We have a plea to save Batman. Zioli's favorite superhero, of course. This is a cat named Batman, snatched from his cage at a Delaware County PetSmart. So police are saying the 10-year-old Batman was stolen last week from the store in Brookhaven. And Batman does suffer with some kidney disease, requires a special diet, but a great cat. Three guys stole this huge 14-pound fat cat feline, drove away. So they do have the, they released the surveillance video, but they're really asking, please return Batman the cat. Eyewitness weather, yes, a frigid day. The high only 36 degrees. It'll never feel like 36. Very breezy and sunny. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 48. And by Friday, it's going to feel like a heat wave with 52 degrees. So if you're buying a luxurious new Volvo, you deserve a luxury experience, which Cherry Hill Volvo delivers every single time. Stop by today, see their beautiful lineup of vehicles, including the XC60 and the XC90. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships really do matter. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News, always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. 855-839-1210. By the way, speaking of climate change, Senator Mazie Hirono, one of the dumbest senators in the United States Senate. No, she is. There's a dumb boy and a dumb girl. Richard Blumenthal is the boy. Mazie Hirono is the girl. The two dumbest senators of the entire 100 of them. She represents Hawaii. Cut one.
And the third is leaving our comfort zone. And for a lot of us, protesting, marching, that's not something that we normally do. But you know what? These are times that call for us to do those things that we believe in and to march, and not just to march, because that's important to show solidarity, but then to do those things such as voter registration, get people out to vote, so that we can have people here who truly are committed to human rights, environmental rights, climate change, believe in climate change as though it's a religion, it's not a science, and all of the things that remains to be done, and there is a lot.
Believe in climate change as though it's a religion, it's not a science.
To human rights, environmental rights, climate change, believe in climate change as though it's a religion, it's not a science.
It's not a science. Thank you, Senator. believe in climate change as though it's a religion. I think they already do, by the way, worship climate change. I think it is their religion for a lot of them. But thank you for pointing out it's not a science, especially today. We're all freezing our asses off. 855-839-1210 is the number. Look, that last caller, I gave him the opportunity, okay? Let me explain to you how I operate here. I gave the call. He's a fraud, first of all, because he calls up. He tries to get on my good side by telling me he enjoys the show and he's full of it. And this happens in talk radio a lot. These people, they get the talking points. And I've been doing this long enough now to be able to sniff him out. But I gave him the opportunity to explain to me what the president did wrong. I gave him the opportunity. He would not even acknowledge that the president, under the law, is in charge of making sure we don't give money to corrupt countries. I can't. What am I supposed to do? I mean, I keep him on forever. I keep him on. And, you know, I mean, the fact is that there are talking points that are out there today, and people are telling people to call the show. If you don't believe me, then just go look at, you go to the Library of Congress, I think it is. I forget. Rush pointed this out. And you go back to the Clinton impeachment, and they had, Rush calls them seminar callers, and they would put together talking points, and they'd send them out, and they'd have people call the shows. And the minute you start trying to push back and ask questions is the minute you start to expose them, because they don't have the answers in front of them and they get all flustered. And that's, you know, that's what happens. So at least hopefully you enjoy the you know, my takedown of them. Because I don't know what else to do with a call like that. You're never going to get it. It's not a real call. It's not somebody who's actually like that guy Terry who called up, who's crazy. He's angry, but at least Terry believes what he's saying. He's not reading it. It's coming from the heart with Terry.
Yeah, he's been calling this radio station for, I mean, I've been here 15 years. He's been calling here for 15 years. So.
Yeah, and he's sincere about what he's saying, and he believes it, and it's coming from the heart. So I'd rather deal with that than somebody who's going to read me a script and nonsense. Let's go to Mark in Allentown. Mark.
Hi, Rich. Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple points that I haven't really heard anybody mention. You know, when this whole thing started, the first thing that jumped out at me was, you know, as a taxpayer, I would hope that every one of my hard-earned dollars that's being given to a foreign country absolutely has strings attached to it, and at a minimum, cooperation with our government. So that's my first point. Again, I would hope, you know, these are our dollars that are being given away. They should have strings attached to them. The other point I wanted to make is that, you know, if the Bidens get away with this, it's really setting a bad precedent in that anybody that's, you know, potentially, you know, committed crimes with foreign governments, all they got to do is throw their hat in the crowded Democratic primary field, which obviously doesn't even have any criteria to jump in, and all of a sudden you're a potential opponent to, you know, the sitting president, and you get a pass. So, you know, those are just two comments I wanted to make.
No, it's a great comment. I was saying yesterday that the best advice I give somebody who's corrupt, run for president as a Democrat, because you instantly become untouchable under this idea that we can't go after our political enemies. So it's like the ultimate get out of jail free card.
Yeah, and certainly during the primary stage, this is ridiculous, you know, because it's what, 27 people in the primary?
Right.
You
know, anyway, Mark, thanks for the call, bud. I appreciate it. Yeah, look, if an American is involved in corruption, it doesn't change the fact if they're running for office, they still might be involved in corruption. But why does everybody assume that Ukraine wouldn't come back and go, we looked into it, there's nothing here on Joe Biden? You notice how nobody assumes that? Everybody assumes that they would come back with dirt on him. It's like everybody knows there is dirt.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Kurt Weldon's on the phone. Congressman, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Rich. I don't usually call in, but I listened to the last caller, and I have to respond. As you may know, I spent 20 years in the Congress, Vice Chairman of the Defense Committee and Homeland Security Committee, and I led 60 bipartisan congressional delegations to 100 nations, including North Korea, Libya, Iraq, all the problem areas. And what the caller needs to understand is, in our system, only the President of the United States has the authorization to set and implement foreign policy. That is not the role of the Congress. The Congress can authorize the funds, can appropriate the funds, can hold hearings, but they do not in any way set foreign policy. Now, if your caller had any kind of enlightenment in his head, he would go back to Time Magazine's cover in the 1990s, when the cover showed the fact that Bill Clinton had sent operatives over to Russia to run Yeltsin's reelection campaign. That was clear interference in a foreign election.
Or you can look at the Cox Commission report. I was one of 9 Cox Commission members that was impaneled by the Congress, bipartisan, 5 Republicans and 4 Democrats. In 1996, the vote was 9-0 that our security was severely harmed because of the transfer of sensitive technology to China. And I went further than the report because I produced a documentation that showed that Bill Clinton basically sold off our technology to the highest bidders. All those charts are available. I can make them available to put on your website so that people can look at the facts. Look, I worked very closely with Democrats when I was in Congress. Some of my best friends in the Congress were Democrats. But this garbage being put out by the left is outrageous.
Well, listen, I'm glad you called, Kurt, because that kind of perspective is very, very important to understand. And I appreciate that because people don't always have that kind of insider knowledge. And it's very helpful. So thanks. By the way, what are you up to these days?
I'm on a couple of boards, and I'm doing a couple of nonprofits. During my 20 years in the Congress, I was a spokesman for America's 1.2 million firefighters. I published my book last year, which is I've traveled all 50 states. So I'm the book details how I empowered the firefighters and first responders. Now I'm working on an international initiative, also a nonprofit, and also working to build a national fire center in Washington, D.C. So I'm having fun, but I look at what's going on.
Let me give
Washington
a plug for your book, if I may. I'm going to give you a quick plug for the book. It's called Awakening the Sleeping Giant, The Political Empowerment of America's Heroes.
Right, and
that's
there's
the
one
title.
Chapter in there, Rich, you'll especially like. It's called Political Arson, and that's where they took me out. They took me out in my last term because I was next in line to be chairman of foreign affairs, and I had the audacity to take on the CIA. That's another whole story. That book will be coming out next year. It's being written by a U.S. attorney who
retired. I'm shocked, right? You go up against the national security apparatus, and then you wind up, you're on the outs. Isn't that something, yeah. Right?
Yeah, what Trump has said about deep state is 1,000% correct. I saw it. I witnessed it. And I can give chapter and verse about it. But I'm holding it for the book. It's being written by a career U.S. attorney who just retired and decided to write the story of what they did in my case. And I'm not crying sour grapes. I had a great time in the Congress. I did my job. But to get me out 2 weeks before my last election, they sent agents from D.C. to raid my daughter's house and never talked to her. The whole thing wasn't about my daughter doing anything wrong. They wanted to create a story. This is the intelligence community, and Bob Mueller was the FBI director, because they know the 3 stories that I know they don't want out. And neither party wants them out, by the way. This is not just something against the Democrats. Neither party wants the 3 stories out that I was investigating, which I have the factual details on. But that'll be in the book. It'll come out next year.
We'll look forward to it. Former Congressman Kurt Weldon. Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. As the impeachment extravaganza comes to a television near you at 10 a.m., there's the nonsense of this, by the way, too, which is just kind of boiling up. And tomorrow's show, I think, is just going to wind up being obviously all in on this. It's very important, though, to remember something, all right? The election that's coming up in 2020, the Democrat Party, as it exists right now, does not want Joe Biden to be their nominee. I keep saying this. I keep saying this over and over again. Every time Democrats say he asked a foreign power to dig up dirt on his political rival, it implies what? That there's dirt to dig up. Do you notice that? Nobody in the Democrat Party has said, but it's a moot point because Joe Biden has no dirt. You notice that? Just think about that for a second, because I don't know if anybody else is saying that. And just think about that. I believe they want Joe Biden gone. I believe that the socialist wing of the party, the people that are running this, these are all people in safe districts. Schiff, Nadler, they're all safe. Pelosi, they want to, maybe not her as much, but they want a different vision for the party. They want to go more left. This is the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez party now. And Biden is the old guard. Biden's the old guard. And they keep repeating the same thing. He asked the head of the Ukraine to dig up dirt in his political rival. And I keep saying to myself, every time you say that, you're jabbing Joe Biden in the face, because you are letting it out there that there might be dirt to dig up. There might be dirt to dig up, you see. You're letting people think that Joe Biden might be corrupt. And that is not an accident. That is not an accident. How do we know there was any dirt to dig up? Why are we here? Joe Biden hates Elizabeth Warren, and she's very worried. He's very worried that she's going to wind up beating him now. And I think that since he's not raising money anymore, this whole Ukraine thing has hurt him tremendously. Now he's taking shots at America's mother-in-law, MOTUS, the mother-in-law of the United States. He took a little jab at her. Take a listen.
Senator Warren, of course, has said that she's not going to be raising those taxes, as you know, right? She has a different plan. You talked about her support for Medicare for All last week. You attacked her. I think it's a fair word. The quote was from you, it's just an elitist attitude about you're either my way or the highway.
Let's get something straight. She attacked me. She went out and said,
oh, yeah.
Biden, she didn't use my name anymore than I used her. She said, Biden is a coward. Biden is, in fact, in the pocket of. Biden is, and she went down the list of saying that I should be in a Republican primary.
She did say you were in the wrong primary.
Oh, yeah, right. Now, what do you call that? And what do you call that? So I responded by saying,
said. Go ahead.
It's not about her. It's about the attitude that exists right now. If you disagree with me, you must be bad. They question motive. Look, we can disagree. I respect your view. I really do.
No, you don't.
What I was talking about is you go home and you tell everybody people are busting their neck and the kitchen table conversation is going on tomorrow morning, like in the house I was raised in. And you say, by the way, I know you don't think we should raise your taxes on this, but this is good for you.
Let's stop for a second. You know, the conversations in homes that he's talking about are what the mother-in-law says in the home.
That's true.
Right? That's what he says. He wants everybody to know she's America's mother-in-law here. She talks over people. She knows better. She mocks people. She humiliates them. Classic mother-in-law fashion.
I know better.
I know better than you. You're no good. It's a sin, Dawn.
It's a sin.
It's a sin. MOTUS. Elizabeth Warren was asked a question, though. How do you get men to vote for a woman for president?
Can we finish this?
Because he
does say elitist.
What do you mean? But where'd that come from?
What specifically is elitist about how she's pursuing Medicare for All?
The attitude that we know better than ordinary people what's in their interest.
Your mother-in-law knows better than you. Your mother-in-law knows better than you what's in your best interest, am I right? We're not doing brownies for Christmas. Because I think you have a little bit of weight to lose. And chocolate makes you sleepy, so we're going to do apple pie.
It does make
your mother-in-law knows better than you. Yes. Not afraid to tell everybody. We're going to not watch the football this year.
The football.
I think last year everyone got a little testy, so no beer before 4 o'clock, okay?
That's
all right? There'll be no beer or wine before 4 o'clock. It's one day. It's one day. Elitist, that's what he's talking about right there. So she was asked the question of how do you get a man to vote for a woman? Cut two.
But how can we get men to vote for a woman for president? How about we give them a tough, smart woman to vote for?
MOTUS is moving.
You know, Helen, I really do. I think that this is kind of, I get it. There are people that are, but for me, it's get out and talk about what you believe in and what you're going to fight for. I believe in big ideas because we got big problems in this country. And I believe it doesn't do any good to have big ideas unless you've got real plans on how to get them passed into law and make some real change. And that's what I'm going to do.
All right. Giddy on up. The hell's that accent she's doing?
She breaks it out when she you
she
know,
does,
goes
right?
To, yes. It's 100%
out. Oklahoma, where the wind comes whipping down the plain. Oklahoma.
I mean, she
said. Where the waving wheat. Sorry.
No. I mean, she said she's from Pennsylvania. She's from Massachusetts.
She's from everywhere.
She's from Oklahoma. Like,
she's lived everywhere. Whenever she wants to be down home and folksy, she whips out that Oklahoma accent, grabs a piece of straw in her mouth. You know, just like you, just a regular old girl like you who fake being an Indian, but just like you, I went to Harvard and taught at Harvard and Penn and Rutgers Law, but just like you, worked at Ivy League schools, just like you though.
Not like you,
Helen. I say, Helen. Yippee-ki-yay, Helen. Yippee-ki-yay. We're going to give them a strong, broad to vote for, right, Helen?
passive aggressive, isn't it?
Oof, man, right? I'll tell you what. 855-839-1210. Look, I got more to say on this, and I got a lot more to say about this Supreme Court ruling on being able to sue the gun manufacturer. That's just absolutely a disgrace. I also have to tell you why gender-neutral Barbie dolls are not woke enough for the left. You go down the road of woke, and this is the problem. You can never make these people happy. So gender-neutral Barbie not woke enough for the left, okay? You don't want to miss this. It's amazing. I got to read you this quote. It's unbelievable. The Zioli Show, it's an hour nonstop talk. By the way, we appreciate you spreading the good word of the show. Thank you very much for doing that. It's the only way the show is going to grow, so thank you. Remember, if you miss a minute of the show, every minute of the show is podcast for you. We don't censor like Disney. If I say something inappropriate, we keep it in. We don't edit content. Disney
That's
does.
That's true.
If I make a joke, it's a little bit, you know, risque.
So like every day?
Like every day. The content is the content. We're not going to be woke and try to edit things. You're not going to hear me start talking and then there's like a big gap of silence. Where they took out the flying crows and the Dumbo. You know what I mean? We're not going to do that on the show. So I promise you that. You get the full show podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Go right to your phone and listen automatically, all right? And I will tell you why. The Supreme Court yesterday made such a giant blunder, and it's a reminder for you, the single most important issue in 2020. Straight ahead.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.